This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Santers, the fabulist, so we appreciate his producing help and hard work all week long. And we have with us now movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, website aisleseat.com. His appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater in Lewisburg. Check them out at campustheater.org. They got a lot going on, including live from Lewisburg this weekend. So tons of activities there. Movie Mike, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Ghostbusters Afterlife. Tell us about that.
Ghostbusters Afterlife brings a new approach to the beloved franchise. McKenna Grace and Finn Wolfhard play kids who move into a ramshackle old home in a dead-end Oklahoma town that their mom inherited from her absentee father. After finding some weird objects in the house, they consult with local school teacher Paul Rudd. He informs them that they may have a connection to one of the fabled Ghostbusters who saved New York City back in the 80s. That connection becomes more apparent as paranormal activity inexplicably grows in the town. Ghostbusters Afterlife is only partially a comedy. There are several hilarious scenes of supernatural silliness, one involving a Slimer-like apparition, and another featuring mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Men. The rest of the movie has a more mysterious, Stranger Things kind of tone. The story is slow to get going, and the way it shifts back and forth between the two tones isn't always smooth. Beyond that, though, there's plenty of fun to be had. Ghostbusters Afterlife brings back some familiar faces and concepts, tying itself to the 1984 classic in meaningful ways. It's funny and exciting, and the manner in which it honors the legacy of the late great Harold Ramis adds a layer of emotion. Nothing could ever match the original, but this is an enjoyable modern-day take on Ghostbusters that I really liked. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Ecto-1s.
3 Ecto-1s?
The Ecto-1 is the famous car.
Oh, okay, which gets restored. I saw the trailer, so
yes.
that happens there. Now, for a lay viewer, if you haven't watched the Ghostbusters series or you don't recall too much about the first one, you better bone up before you watch, right?
It would definitely help. A lot of this movie harkens back to the 1984 original. They kind of leave out anything that happened in Ghostbusters 2. But, yeah, so much of this movie ties into the original, and the more you know about the original, the more you'll appreciate the story and what they're doing here.
All right, so go back and watch the classic and then watch this one. And you found it perfect. I mean, it seemed a little over the top to me, but again, I'm not a Ghostbusters fan like you. You're a huge fan of the whole franchise.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I still remember seeing the original in 1984 and literally being euphoric for 105 minutes. I mean, that movie was just so perfectly executed that it made me feel a way very few movies have made me feel, and so I'm a big fan. But, you know, this is interesting because it was directed by Jason Reitman, the guy who did Juno and some other movies, and he is the son of Ivan Reitman, who directed the original. So there's sort of a family legacy in the making of this movie, and I think it was really interesting that he decided not to go the straight comedy route. That could have not worked, but I think it's an interesting approach, and what they do with it is really kind of clever in the way they bring Harold Ramis' character into it. So I liked it. It's not a perfect movie. Nothing will ever top or even come close to the original. But this is a fun movie, and I think the people who are fans of Ghostbusters are going to enjoy it.
Is Ghostbusters on your top 10 films of all time?
My top 10 favorites, yeah, easily.
Okay, so, yeah, I think certainly is a classic and still very much talked about and unduplicatable. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been other people that have tried to sort of grab at that kind of that momentum or the, not even the genre, just the idea of this science fiction silliness, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, they really pulled it off well. And I went to the movie with my 13-year-old son, my 78-year-old dad, so we had three generations of men in my family who were all Ghostbusters fans, and all of us were very satisfied with the film.
All right, super. So you gave it three
Ecto-1s.
Ecto-1s, okay, and that's the giant old Cadillac that gets revived in the film. Okay, so we appreciate that. There's a lot going on at the box office these days, so let's jump into that. Indiana Sweets and Spices is out this week.
This is a small movie that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, and it is opening locally today at the AMC Selinsgrove 12 at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. It's called India Sweets and Spices, and it's about a young Indian woman, a modern girl, who goes back home from college for the summer to live with her ultra-conservative parents, who try to force her to live a conservative lifestyle. And then she discovers a secret about her mother that completely changes the nature of their relationship. And there's a romantic comedy angle to this, and there's a really interesting theme about the role of women in modern Indian society and being conservative versus being more modern. And it's just one of those real feel-good movies that has a lot of good performances. It's funny. It's meaningful. So it's called India Sweets and Spices. It stars an actress named Sophia Ali, who was on Grey's Anatomy, and she is fantastic in this film. So it's something I hope people will go and check out. Like I said, it's not getting the hype of Ghostbusters Afterlife, but it does open locally today. So 3 stars for India Sweets and Spices.
3 stars, and it's at theaters. Where else?
That is it, but you can see it at our local AMC.
And my observation from having seen the trailer is that we have seen this story before in Asian families and in Indian families.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me in a way of My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That movie is more of a romantic comedy than this one is. This one has some romantic comedy elements, but it's that same kind of thing where you have a big extended family and you get to watch the cultural things that go on, and the movie has some fun with that. There are some funny scenes based on culture clashes within members of the family. So if you liked My Big Fat Greek Wedding, this is the kind of thing you would probably like too.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be worth it just to watch The Party. Okay.
Yeah, that seems really funny.
One of our listeners sends us a text. Where is Ghostbusters in theaters?
In theaters only.
Theaters only. Okay, so we got 2 things in theater. Tick, tick. Boom.
This opens on Netflix today. It's one of their original movies, although they did give it a limited theatrical release last week. And this is the directorial debut of Lin-Manuel Miranda, the genius behind In the Heights and Hamilton. And it stars Andrew Garfield in one of his best performances ever. And he plays Jonathan Larson, the guy who created Rent. And the movie is based on Larson's play, Tick, Tick, Boom, which was semi-autobiographical. So it's kind of an interesting movie. It's an adaptation of something, but it's also a biography of Jonathan Larson. The music is great in this. Andrew Garfield is fantastic. I saw Rent. I'm not a big theater guy, but I saw Rent probably about 20 years ago, and it absolutely blew me away. So if you want to know more about the guy who created this and some of the struggles that he went through before he created Rent and really became a household name, Tick, Tick, Boom is on Netflix today, and it's very enjoyable. So 3 stars for that one as well.
Oh, wow. Super. Okay. The trailer looks captivating, and I love music, so.
Yeah, I wish some of the supporting characters were a little more developed. Most of them are there just basically to have an impact on Jonathan Larson. But as a whole, the movie is really entertaining.
All right. Another movie out this week, or more of a documentary, I guess, Procession. Tell us about that.
This is my movie pick of the week, and this also debuts today on Netflix. And for me, this is the best documentary of the year. The filmmaker followed a group of men who were all victims of the sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. They were all abused by priests when they were children. And now they're men who are living
in New York?
They were in I think it was Kansas.
Okay.
In the middle of the country.
Okay.
And they're still suffering the effects of that trauma. And so what they do is these men got together to participate in a drama therapy experiment where they wrote and directed and filmed scenes that were based on the own abuse that they had through the Catholic Church. And it was a way of trying to help them to process that and get through it. And the movie follows their stories, not just as they film these scenes, but also as they deal with the fallout of being sexually abused and as they support each other. So it's a really, really fascinating film that shows you what therapy is and how something traumatic like that can impact a person decades later. So it's called Procession. It's on Netflix today. Best documentary of the year, 4 stars. I cannot recommend that one highly enough.
Oh, wow. Super. On Netflix. Okay. And Procession, a reference to the one of the opening sequences in the church liturgy?
I believe so. I mean, okay. I was a Catholic for 51 years. I can't say I knew all of the lingo like I was supposed to.
Okay, well, that's when the priest and everybody comes walking in.
Right.
So I guess maybe that's it. Anyway, moving on. Let's see. So those are the ones that are out. Box office, Tick, Tick, Boom, Indiana, Sweets and Spices. We heard overnight the Jerry Garcia film is coming out. Just one sentence about that. Mm-hmm. There's not too much out about that yet.
Jonah Hill is going to play Jerry Garcia in a biopic directed by Martin Scorsese. Everything about that sounds really good.
Okay, yeah. And we've seen Martin Scorsese do this well in what other films?
Well, he's worked with music throughout his career. He directed was the executive producer of Long Strange Trip, which was a documentary about the Grateful Dead. Of course, he directed The Last Waltz about the band. So music has always been an important thing to him.
So this is a theme of great things that he's produced.
Yes.
Along the way. Okay, so we'll look forward to that coming out. How's the box office doing lately? I always ask you about that.
Last week wasn't so great. Marvel's Eternals dropped really heavily, heavier than most people expected, probably because it's boring.
But I think
it's going to perk up here because we've got Ghostbusters this weekend and then all the Thanksgiving movies next week. Disney's Encanto and House of Gucci with Lady Gaga. So it's going to pick up again.
All right. Do we need a Lethal Weapon 5?
Well, no, we don't. And it was announced this week that it's going to be directed by Mel Gibson. You know, people talk about cancel culture. Oh, it's terrible. These people get canceled for what they say and did. Mel Gibson has made racist statements. He's made anti-Semitic statements. He beat the stuffing out of one of his ex-girlfriends. He has sexually harassed women. He is a COVID denier. And yet here he is. He's getting handed the chance to direct Lethal Weapon 5. So, you know, people talk about cancel culture. It does not exist. And Mel Gibson is proof of that. I would have probably had very little interest in a fifth Lethal Weapon anyway, but knowing he's involved with it, my interest has gone to less than zero.
Well, can I not say that the whole failure to, Lethal Weapon genre is failure to launch? I mean, Lethal Weapon, the first one, was certainly noteworthy. You know, it was interesting, but beyond that.
I would say the first two. The first two were really big, and then it kind of went downhill, and I don't think you can really replicate that today. I think people are kind of tired of Mel Gibson. They know what he's done in his personal life, and you know, his career is not where it was. Danny Glover is a better actor. He doesn't need to go back for a fifth.
And he's not in the film this time, the one he's working on now, Lethal Weapon 5.
Not yet, but I'm sure they're going to try to get him.
Oh, stick him in there somewhere. Okay. Maybe a cameo, be one of the cops or something again. All right. And finally, Summer of Soul Documentary Awards. You have to start at the beginning on that one for me.
Critics' Choice Documentary Awards were unveiled last weekend. Of course, I'm a member of that body and a voter. And Questlove's film, Summer of Soul, swept the awards. It won all six for which it was nominated, including Best Documentary Feature and Best Director.
All right, and you gave it 5 out of 4 when you were here reviewing it the last time.
I gave that one 3.5 out of 4. You can stream it on demand or on Hulu, and I highly recommend it. It's a really good movie.
All right, sounds super. Movie Mike McGranahan, what will you see next week? Next week we'll have a brief recorded interview while we have a Black Friday holiday here on the broadcast booth. But what will we hear most likely?
Not sure yet. I'm going to be screening a lot of the big holiday movies coming up here in the next 2 weeks. So
there's a lot going
stay
on.
Stay tuned, yeah.
All right, and then we'll see you back in the studio in December on the 3rd, and we'll start to sift through some of these. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. Do as I do. Boy, go to that and check out these movies before you go see them. And we're glad to say his appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.